Hi, everybody. Welcome to Mormonish. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Landon.
And we have a very quick update. We didn't even mean to do this, but we got this piece of information tonight and we're like, we have to share this. This is just, we've got to share it. So what we're talking about again, of course, is the McKinney, Texas LDS Temple. We've done a lot of podcasts about that recently, haven't we, Landon?
We have, it seems like too much on the temples. They just keep bringing up issues.
They do, and we just keep getting material from people. So, on our original podcast, we talked about how the residents had been made aware that the temple was going to be built in their area. And we talked about how the residents within 500 feet, I think it was, had received a letter. Well, we just kind of thought, okay, a letter. We didn't think much more about it. Well, today we received a copy of that letter. So we thought that we would share that with you. We'll share a little bit of background first. So the McKinney Temple, Landon, you just want to go through the relevant, very quick stats on it so we know what we're
Yeah,
talking about.
it's on 8.16 acres, 44,000 square feet. It's actually not located in McKinney. It's in a town called Fairview. It's currently in the planning stages. They don't have permits yet. And so the temple rendering was released on February 26, 2024, to the public, although I don't think I think that may have been to the church members because they did not see. The neighbors didn't see it. So that's kind of the information on it.
That is. Let's go to our next slide. Like I said, this is a very brief update. So again, that rendering was released and 500 feet around the perimeter of where the temple is going to go in, the residents were mailed a letter that was going to give them all the information that they needed about this new building that was going to come into their neighborhood. So, letter sent to residents in Fairview, Texas, within 500 feet. And today we got a copy of the letter, and we just thought it's valuable to go through to see what the information is that the church feels these residents need to have. And we'll let you guys kind of be the judge of this. So, of course, it's way too small for me to read, but Landon's going to start reading through it. And this is an actual picture of a letter that arrived at one of the Fairview residents' home.
Yeah, it's on church letterhead, dated March 7, 2024, and it says, "Dear neighbor, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will be constructing the McKinney, Texas Temple on an 8.16 acre lot located at 671 East Stacy Road in Fairview, Texas. The church hopes you will share in its excitement about this sacred Christian building, which will be built to the highest standards of construction with beautiful landscaping. The temple will incorporate local architecture and themes in its design, so it is complementary with the surrounding neighborhood. It is our hope it will be a community asset as an oasis of peace."
Wow, so that sounds pretty nice. If you were a resident reading that letter, I think maybe a key in that paragraph is when they use the word highest, right? Built to the highest, what did it say, specification? I think that they're, kind of maybe it's a Freudian slip, right?
I think you could be right.
I know, and
Well,
just wonderful words like oasis, and it sounds very positive. And I think at this point, when a resident is reading this, they know it's from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They probably are familiar with some of the other types of buildings, probably more like stake centers than meeting houses. So they're probably reading this right now thinking, oh, that's probably what's coming into my neighborhood.
It's actually being built right next door to a stake center, an existing stake center. So, but this is where the title of our episode comes from, because from this point, it just really gets ridiculous as to what they're telling the residents. So, I'll go on and read. "Plans call for a two-story temple of approximately 43,200 square feet and an accompanying small center to purchase religious items and house grounds maintenance equipment." Now, I looked it up. I Googled it to see what a two-story building was. And Google says that a two-story building is typically about 20 feet high. So when you read this letter, you're thinking that there's a 20-foot high, two-story building going in next to you. The building codes allow for 35 feet. So even at even if you stretch that and say 25 feet for a two-story building, they're not really worried about it.
No, they're not worried. And that's what the resident that we talked to said. They said, okay, I read that. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's like another meeting house, like I already know. And but the only thing that caused them a little bit of pause is when they said, wait, okay, two-story, but 43,000 square feet. They were like, is that some kind of like a complex or a compound? What would that look like? You know, a giant flat building that's going to go in. So they were a little puzzled by that, I think, when they read that paragraph.
Yeah. Then they go on and say, unlike a cathedral, the temple does not contain a large room for meetings. Instead, it is built with a series of smaller rooms where the highest ordinances of the faith take place by special appointment. Because of this, large numbers of people will not come to the neighborhood at the same time. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought marriages is something that happens in a temple.
That's true.
That's typically a large group of people that are invited to weddings and marriages, yet they don't seem to mention anything about that. In addition to that, you've got youth baptism groups where you bring in, you know, carloads of youth to do baptisms. And let's face it, if we take them on their face value, they like to claim that each stake has 3,000 members in it. So you're talking, you know, they tell them that they should go to the temple once a month. And there's usually, you know, 4, 5, 6 stakes in these areas. So you're talking 20, 30,000 people that they're saying would be coming into a neighborhood. And they're saying that's not going to impact. Don't worry about it. It's not going to impact your traffic at all, having, you know, that many people come into your neighborhood. We have 30 or 40,000 people who want this building, but none of them are really going to come, is what they're...
Well, that might be accurate.
That may be accurate. But you don't get to claim both, that there's 40,000 people who want it and hardly anyone's going to come.
Yeah, it's a very misleading paragraph, I think. And I'm using the word misleading nicely. And I am confused by appointment. I have heard that some temples, so few people attend that they do have to just make appointments to go. Maybe that's what they're being upfront about, or maybe they're just trying to say, you know, sessions are at certain times. That's kind of by appointment. I think they're trying to say it's going to be staggered, maybe. But, you know, I live right next door to a temple. You live next door to two temples. And as we all know, although we are in Utah, so maybe a little higher traffic, I mean, it's packed around the clock, you know, with traffic and cars and the parking lot. Just the workers alone that staff the temple, they are always going back and forth to their shifts. And there are a lot of people that are temple workers that are going to be going there.
Well, and again, it begs the question, if there is so few people that are going to be coming to it, that it's open by appointment only, why in the world is it 43,000 square feet tall?
Or why do they even need it if they're claiming here that hardly anyone will come? There's another temple.
This is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and Dallas does have a temple. So,
it's very, I can see why the residents would be confused. Like, what is this building? What do they mean? I'm sure they don't understand the highest ordinance of the religion. They don't understand what that means either. But they're probably still at this point giving them the benefit of the doubt because it's only two stories and sounds like maybe not a lot of traffic. But of course, the rest of us know this is not an accurate portrayal of what's going to happen to that neighborhood when a temple comes in.
Yeah, and it goes on. It says, we recognize that construction can cause some temporary challenges, and we thank you in advance for your patience. Then there's some blacked out area that we couldn't read. And then they say, in fact, an official notice will be coming from the city informing you of the temple's construction.
And that's actually a highlighted area that the resident highlighted. If you can read through that blue, I don't know if you can. Yeah,
well,
that's
please be assured that this project is consistent with the regulations.
Yes, yeah. That's why that resident highlighted that line right there. Please be assured that this project is going to, you know, adhere to all regulations. And as we know from other podcasts that we've done, this is not what's happening. So the resident thought that was very, very funny.
Yeah, that absolutely is, because they're building it. The problem is it's not zoned for this type of building. So they're trying to change the zoning again, as we see, for all the and get a special and request special use permits.
Right.
So then it goes on, and this is the ever so gracious. Once the temple is completed, you will be among the first to be invited on a special tour before the public as a sign of goodwill for your support during the building process. The church desires to be a good neighbor and welcomes any questions or concerns you might have about this project. Please feel free to contact me at any time before or during the construction.
So I just want to ask everybody who's listening or watching, if you received this letter and you didn't really understand exactly where, does it even say the word temple or does it say building?
It says, it does call it the McKinney Texas Temple.
It does say temple, but like the resident that we talked to, I mean, he thought it was unusual maybe, or interesting, or, but you know, two stories, that doesn't raise any alarm. The size of it might have made him wonder, as they described. It definitely said that it's going to follow the zoning regulations. So, you know, they've got everything in line there where they live. They've got their planning and zoning board to protect it. So it really wouldn't raise too much concern, maybe just some curiosity. Is that how you would kind of look at it if you got that in the mail?
Yeah, they're basically saying, yeah, you know, no reason to come to the planning and zoning meetings because it's gonna meet all the regulations. It's just a small two-story chateau that's going to be in the back in your backyard.
It's 43,000 square feet.
43,000 square feet, but just two stories. It's just, you know, 20 feet tall. That's what you're thinking when you read two-story building.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing to be concerned about. And the bad part about this to me is this is completely what we were taught as LDS members that you don't do. There were sins of commission and sins of omission, and this is a sin of omission. They are intentionally withholding the information. They are intentionally trying to mislead you, and they'll argue, no, it is only two stories tall, but each story is 35 feet tall, so you end up with a 70-foot tall building, which is really seven stories tall by measurement, but they'll say there's only two floors because it's got such high ceilings. But they never bring that to your attention. And you notice the other thing that they don't bring to your attention, the height of the steeple. They don't even mention
the word
that it's going to have a steeple. Yeah. Yet in the letters that we just saw that went out from the state to the stakes for their people to write, what was the most important thing that they were supposed to write to the planning and zoning board people? How important the steeple was in their worship. So this is the highest order of that they need, is they have to tell the planning zoning board how important that steeple is. Yet they don't mention a word to the neighbors that there's going to be a 173-foot steeple in their neighborhood. Why are you telling the planning commission one thing and the neighbors something completely different? I think it's pretty obvious what they're doing here. They're attempting to mislead, misdirect, and misinform the neighbors so that they don't get up in arms and so that they don't attend the meeting and so that they don't panic until it's too late. And that's exactly what they're trying to do here. And that's why we call this episode Lying for the Lord's House. Evidently, it's okay to mislead people as long as it's for the Lord.
That is a brilliant observation about the lack of the steeple, mention of the steeple in one letter, and the emphasis on the steeple in the other letter. Because as you're saying, we've seen two letters now to the surrounding stakes that will be in the McKinney Temple District. And in both of the letters, the focus of the letter is the steeple. And they're telling the residents to write to the Planning and Zoning Board and explain how important this steeple is. It's all about the steeple. Yet there's absolutely no mention here. You would never think that there was going to be a steeple. They don't even say there's a steeple and not give a height. They don't even say the word steeple. So that's extremely telling. Good catch. I didn't even think of that, but you're absolutely right. Telling, misleading with one letter and then leading with the other, I think is what it is.
And then that last paragraph to me is extremely, you know, please call us. We desire to be a good neighbor. Please give us any questions. So your desire to be a good neighbor starts out with not telling the whole truth in the letter that you're sending out to them. And then they can call you with the concerns and you'll answer the phone and say, we understand, you know, I'm not in the position to do anything, but I'll pass your concerns on. And then they'll go to the planning zoning meeting and the church will bring out all their lawyers and threaten to sue and to call you bigots and everything else because you don't like the idea that there is a 173-foot building that doesn't meet the regulations of the and the building codes. And then to say, but we'll welcome you as the first to come and see it after we've after we've completely ignored and divided your neighborhood. You're going to be welcome to come and to this oasis of peace, as they call it.
No, it's not an oasis of peace. And as we follow, you know, Heber and Cody and Lone Mountain, neighborhoods and towns are divided over this. And this is exactly the reason. This is it. The neighbors feel completely tricked and bamboozled and kept in the dark. And of course, they're going to be frustrated and confused by their LDS neighbors and say, what is this? Why are we being treated this way? Why can't we just be open and honest? Everything is a backdoor kind of a situation, slide it in. And I think it has to do with the idea that we've heard over and over in these other cities. It doesn't matter how the temple is built. It must be built. And once it's built, everyone will understand the blessings of the temple for the community. And they'll go, we forgive you for, you know, all of this misleading. But that's not what's going to happen. As we've seen, especially in Cody and Heber, there's irreparable damage to relationships and just the whole tone of these towns because of exactly this. And this is just the beginning. This is the first word that any of these residents got that anything was happening in their neighborhood. This is the first chance to, you only have one chance to make a first impression, right? How do you think they did, Landon?
Well, I think the letter itself probably was the first time you get it. You did all right. But when you find out, you notice what they didn't send is a picture of the temple.
I was just going to say that. And they had it. They have it. So, yes, our next slide said residents are left just a little confused by the letter. They're like, okay, that seems okay. I'm not sure, but it seems all right. Because again, I think most people have experience with LDS buildings that are stake centers, meeting houses, you know, so they, and other churches. Oh, it's a building. Hardly any other religion has a temple on the, maybe Scientology. No, even they have just kind of buildings. We've been to Clearwater and places and no, a temple is really unique. And if you don't know what those are like, you would never expect it. So our picture is just of residents going, okay, well, we'll just wait and see. So that's kind of how the residents left it. The ones that we talked to, they got this letter and they knew that something would be happening at the planning and zoning meetings. And they were just kind of like, okay, I don't think they were alarmed. They were just sort of wait and see what's going to happen. So then the next thing that happened is, at least this one resident described to me, someone else in the neighborhood who was, I don't know if they were connected or they just somehow knew what was being shown to the planning and zoning board, said, do you know what's really going in? Do you understand the height of this building? And of course they didn't, but there were some schematics that were provided. And what did they show, Landon?
Yeah. So you see here, the proposed religious facility, 173-foot tower. That doesn't seem two-story. Now, the church will argue, well, you don't count the height of the steeple as part of the building, which can be argued because if it's part of the frame, then it is. It's only if it's a freestanding. But either way, 173 feet is in no book two-story building. So they misled. And again, as we mentioned, they are emphasizing in all their letters how important this steeple is, and yet they don't even mention it to the neighbors. And you see that even the roof peak on this thing is 65 feet tall.
Twice, almost.
So that's almost twice the roof height. So it does not follow any of the regulations. It does not fall within what they've told you. What they are telling you is misleading and it's false. And that's very sad. Here's another picture. You can see this is the stake center that's right next door. If you can see the building, and it has a max height of 35 feet with the roof, and it's got a steeple on it, and the steeple is maybe an extra 20, 30 feet tall, making the building about 50 feet tall. That's what you think of when you say two-story building, not this massive, giant building. So, look, I grew up in this church. I believed this church. I served a mission for this church. I gave up years of my life in service to this church because I believed it was good. I did not consider that they were capable of being dishonest and deceitful. And here I am, 50 years old, and I find out that they lied to me about the history of the church. They lied to me about the finances of the church, and we just find out today that there's the Widow's Mite report puts out that they failed to report more things where they owned stock with all the shell companies and failed to report that. Yep. So more things that they did to mislead me. And now I see them out here misleading the neighbors about the temple. You mislead your members, and now you're misleading everyone else in the community. And I didn't think that was possible as a member when I believed, but I know why I'm not a member anymore. And if the church is going to keep doing this, they've become a corporate real estate. That's what they are. They're not a religion. Jesus, the Mormon Jesus, taught us not to lie. He taught us to be that being a good neighbor is one of the top commandments.
Yeah.
You don't be a good neighbor by lying to them and misleading them and telling them something that's not true so you can skirt a building by them and show them how marvelous you are because you can build a big building in their neighborhood. It's dishonest, it's disingenuous, and it's the furthest thing from the church that I belong to that I can think of. And so it just disgusted me when I saw that letter and went, here they are again, lying for the Lord's house. And it's got to end. The churches, the people in the church are better than that.
They are.
They've got to stop the organization and say, hey, this is dishonest. This isn't us. This doesn't represent us. And it's got to start with the members. They've got to say something. They've got to step up and say, enough's enough, guys. This is getting ridiculous.
Wow. I can't even add anything to that, Landon, because that you said it perfectly. And I agree. That was one of my problems with the other letters that we've been podcasting about, the letters from church authorities to members telling them what to write, what to say, to influence and manipulate these planning and zoning boards. I thought, I have friends and family that are active LDS. I don't want them to be told when they know in their heart that that's misleading, the things that they're asked to say that the height of the steeple is something that's always been a major tenet of the religion. They know in their heart that's not true. And yet they're being asked, like you said, to lie for the house of the Lord. I don't like to think of my friends and family being manipulated in that way. That's not right. And so I agree. Somebody has to say, look, I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't want to do that. Let's just work this out. Let's follow the laws in the land. So it's just negative in every way. It's negative as far as what they're asking the membership to do. It's negative how they're treating people. And I have to say, as we work with these residents in Cody, Heber, Lone Mountain, and now McKinney, these are wonderful people. Like, these are ethical, wonderful, smart, excellent people. And they do not deserve this kind of treatment from a religion that they don't understand. They think it's another religion, you know, like our original, when we talked to Cody, they said, we're God-fearing people. We're religious and they're a religion. We can all work together, you know? And then within a couple months, they said, this isn't a church. What is this? And they were sincerely asking. They had never come across this kind of organization that claimed to be a religion, where lawyers come in and four lawsuits. And so it's just heartbreaking all around. And I think there can be better behavior. So after our residents here in McKinney that we talked to started to realize what was happening, What happened next? This is our temple bat signal that we made. And that means that just kind of through the grapevine, because our podcast has dealt with these other cities, people kind of get this idea, oh, maybe I could, you know, talk to Mormonish and see what's going on. And we're very happy to connect residents of different towns where this is happening together because they have information and they can talk about, well, we kind of did this and we kind of, you know, dealt with it in this way, just to see if there can be a better outcome for everyone. Because it's just so disappointing. And if you could visit some of these towns, we visited Cody. We visited Heber multiple times and talked to different people. We're planning to go down to Lone Mountain. Hey, maybe even McKinney. I mean, there's heartbreak when it comes to this. And there's resources that are lost. These residents are launching these lawsuits, these countersuits out of their own pocket. I mean, it's not the city fighting this. The cities usually have to say, I have to back off. We're being threatened. We're being sued. Like in Cody, that happened. And it's just demoralizing and depressing and so sad. And you would just think that a church coming into a community would want to fit in, would want to understand from the people, you know, where should we build? Where can we be? Where can we all get along together? Then everyone's happy. You can go to the open house. It's a positive thing. There's just animosity. I don't know. I don't know if we can express our disappointment enough seeing all these, you know, the big picture of the four different temples that we've been involved in.
Well, it's just every day we get a new thing that we just say, oh my gosh, what is going on here?
Yeah.
This is not true. And then to paint people who are saying you're not following the rules for the building here. And then you point them as religious bigots because they don't want a building that is nowhere close to fitting in the surrounding area. This is why the church has enemies. And it's not because people hate the church. It's because the way the church treats the people. We see this over and over and over again. And people are tired of it. And you can see that this is not a one-off. It happens in every community that where they go into neighborhoods and try to build these. And it's they've got to get the message that you're not welcome in these neighborhoods. Put it where it belongs. All the cities have areas where these can go at, where they fit in, where they meet the requirements. Why do they have to push this? And it's all about being seen. It's got to be big and it's got to be seen from everywhere. And that's pride. That's what I learned growing up. I was the Benson era where we talked about pride. And everywhere in the Book of Mormon, pride is associated with high and tall buildings, high and tall places. And it will be the uncoming of the church when they do this in every community and make an enemy everywhere they go. So I just hope the residents can get together and the city council members will see what's happening here and will, you know, vote appropriately.
Yeah, I do too. And I should have put this up on a slide, but just what you said about show, there was a dedication for the Manti Temple just on Sunday, a couple days ago, and President Nelson was there, made a surprise show. Everybody was really excited. But part of his address that he gave there, he said, "We build temples to honor the Lord. They are built for worship and not for show." And I made this meme because then I wrote also last week, same time, we see these two letters where it says, you know, letters from the church to residents telling them what to write to the city councils to kind of manipulate them. It says the height of the steeple is part of our religious observance. The steeple is the temple's most distinctive architectural feature and serves no other purpose than to send a religious message, to send a message, right? To be seen. And I also feel that they want to build in these neighborhoods where the codes don't allow, because they also build very high-end homes around it. There's development in each one of these places. You see that they're going to, maybe not Cody, but everywhere else so far, there's open space that's available to develop. And I know there are all kinds of thoughts of, you know, who's developing this? How is this working? What is this? You know, is this above board? But I think that might be part of it. I think maybe that's why they don't try to go to places where it's zoned for, because those tend to be more, you can't develop housing, obviously. Have you ever given any thought to that?
I have some of the neighborhoods, and this one looks to be pretty well developed from what I can see on the satellite shots. But, you know, to me, they've got to be in the ritzy part of town, in the high end homes. Again, it's a show. Why do you have to be in the high end part of town? That's not what my Jesus that I was taught by this church would do. But again, we see time after time the church does what it does, not what it says. And any member says, well, why are they acting completely different than the way they teach me to act, and the way they question me to even get a recommend to go? Yeah. One of the questions to go to the temple is, are you honest in your dealings with your fellow man? This letter is not honest. So evidently you don't need a temple recommend to build a temple. You only need one to go to it.
To go into. Well, it's a sin of omission. And those are a little more wiggly, right? But it is absolutely a sin of omission. I'm sorry, by how many feet is it a sin of omission? Over 100, right?
So, yeah, they're off by about 150 feet.
That's it.
If 150 feet is 20 feet. Yep,
that's right. So anyway, when we came into possession of this letter of how it all started in McKinney, the first word that anyone got was this letter, and then, you know, got the true information, and then just sort of thought, we've got to try to do something. This is not right. And what is happening to us? And again, their lives are completely disrupted. You know, now this is all they're thinking about, trying to be aware, trying to see what's happening in the planning zoning board, trying to talk to others to find out what they can do. It's just completely disruptive.
Well, we've seen them do an end run at different locations by, making donations to city council members, mm-hmm. to get civic codes changed and building codes changed. We just learned that the very law that they're using, RLUIPI, mm-hmm. Was actually sponsored by Utah senators. LDS senators are who pushed it through to make a law so that they say we don't have to follow any thing. Yeah, so they're using their power.
Yeah,
they're using their money. They're using lawsuits. They're using legislatures. They're using political donations. They're using every trick in the book to get around these building codes. And yet they put out a letter like this telling the neighbors, we just want to be a good neighbor and move our little chateau in next to you. And you guys come on over and hang out and we'll, you know, drink some beers. Is basically what the letter's saying, right up until they build it. And then they say, oh, no, there's no beer here. And you're not welcome here.
And you're not welcome. Not in our oasis. And I would add to that list of influence, even using members that are in key positions in different city councils and zoning boards to press their agenda and manipulate. We have seen this in Cody. It's absolutely incredible. You almost can't believe it's happening. So anyway, I guess our message is, we're sad. We're disappointed. We feel for all these residents who we've gotten to know that are really, really good people, just trying to preserve their community, and just the whole sin of omission. And it's just really disappointing.
Absolutely.
Yep. Can we think of anything positive to say? I hate ending on that kind of a note where we're both like,
I wish I could, but I really am disappointed.
I know.
Because, you know, I lived 50 years of my life following this, and now I find out that it's not expected of them, only of me.
Right. Well, and I did have a conversation about this with a faithful member a couple days ago, and I just kind of very politely outlined some of these things in very general terms, actually, some of the things that were happening, and I just kind of tested the water and said, I mean, what do you think about this, you know? And the person said, well, the main most important thing is that the temple be built. That's all. It must be built. And by that, just implied that all these other tactics, if I can call them tactics, were acceptable. And I said, oh, I made up a word right there on the spot. I thought, You're a Nephi Lamanite, Labanite, right? And by Nephi Labanite, I mean whatever it takes, right? The story of Nephi and Laban, where Nephi had to cut off Laban's head, whatever it takes, the end result or the Lord must be achieved. And that's what this is, whatever it takes to build these temples.
Well, I just know that there is a commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yep.
There's not a commandment, build a temple no matter what.
Powerful words to end on, I think. So, yeah. So thank you, everybody. We just wanted to put this out, just a little update, because like I said, we came into possession of this letter pretty late tonight. So please leave your comments. What do you think about this? Do you think it's okay that this kind of a letter is sent? Do you have a problem with this? How do you think faithful members would feel about this? Let us know what your thoughts are. Please like and subscribe to Mormonish Podcast. And if you'd like to be made aware of when new episodes come out, you can hit that notification bell. If you would like to financially support Mormonish Podcast, there are always links in the show notes to Venmo, PayPal, MormonishPodcast.org. And we really appreciate those of you that do. We really could not do any of this without you, and we appreciate it so much. We also have links to our Mormonish merch in the show notes if you'd like to pick up a mug or a hat or something like that. And I'm sure we'll be reporting again soon. I feel like it's right what you said, Landon. We seem to get new information like almost every day. And then we're like, oh my gosh, we have to put this out there. So anyway, thank you everybody for watching, and we'll say goodbye from now from Mormonish. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Mormonish. We really appreciate our listeners and would love to hear from you if you have a story you'd like to share. You can email us at mormonishpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and on our website, mormonishpodcast.org. And don't forget to look for us on YouTube and like and subscribe. Keep joyful, everybody.